Hello, everyone. I'm John Montoya.
And I'm John Pairings.
We're authorized infinite banking practitioners and hosts of the Strategic Whole Life Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Strategic Whole Life Podcast. This is a landmark episode number 100 for us. So we're in the triple digits, and we wanted to do a special episode today. And so we're doing a small roundtable with two of our best clients, one of mine and one of John Montoya's. And we thought it'd be fun to just talk a little bit about, you know, their lives and what they're doing with IBC and how it's been beneficial for them. So on the call, we have, of course, John Montoya. We have Declan Wilson here in the local Bay Area. He owns a contracting company. And we have Brant Scheifler, who's from North Carolina, who is an SEO expert. And so, gents, wanted to say thank you up front for taking some time to do this episode with us. We're really excited to have you on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I guess we could just kind of jump right into it. Why don't we start with Declan? Declan, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, like what you do and how you found IBC and what kind of piqued your interest in it.
Yeah, well, I'm a general contractor in the San Francisco Bay Area, and how I became familiar with the IBC is a pretty modern way. I found it on TikTok. So I was scrolling through one night, and I happened to see a guy who was kind of leaning towards putting money into CDs. He kind of explained, you know, do you pay $30,000 for a truck if you have $30,000 cash, or do you do something with the cash and finance the purchase? So I kind of went through the motions with that and liked the guy's ideas, and just clicked through a few of his other postings. And one of his suggestions was to read How to Become Your Own Banker, which is what's brought me here today.
Very cool. Very cool. Anything in particular when you read Becoming Your Own Banker, anything in particular stand out, like specifically for you and what you do in your life?
Yeah, well, I'm always trying to advance more into the development or real estate end of the construction. And along with everything else in the Bay Area, everything's just so expensive. It seems that getting the down payments for properties and stuff like that is kind of the bigger challenge for the most part. So it was kind of whenever I learned that you can use the same dollar one, two, three times maybe, that right. I definitely became interested in it. I was always kind of vaguely aware of how banking worked and how they only needed a small amount of that money to actually allow them to borrow it or lend it to you. Mm-hmm. So whenever I started reading the book, I figured that I'd like to be on that end of the business rather on the one taking the loan. So
that's
what I learned from it, you know.
That's pretty awesome. I hadn't really thought of I've never really thought of that angle of, you know, if prices are high for the thing you want to buy, if you can reuse the same dollar over and over again, it could make some of those higher priced assets a little more palatable. So that's a pretty interesting take. Montoya, anything you want to add to what Declan was talking about? You're also in the real estate world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what really caught me is he learned about IBC from being on TikTok. That's an app.
Declan doesn't come off as a TikToker, does he?
No, but that just goes to show that
it was during COVID, so I had a little bit more time on my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it's great that just goes to show that we have the availability of so much information literally at our fingertips. And for so many people, you know, there's unfortunately, when it comes to whole life, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but you were able to grab on to something that piqued your interest and pointed you in the right direction. And I think from there, curiosity really led you to the book. And once you read the book, then maybe you could share a little bit about your experience reading the book. I'll just real quickly say one thing about Nelson's book. When I read it the first time, it was unlike any other finance book that I'd ever come across with what it taught. Was there anything that pulled you in even further that maybe clicked right away with his book?
Yeah, it was just, it's as much the generational part of it as for what I can do with myself. You know, the worst case scenario, I die and my dependents are covered, you know. So, you know, all the other advantages of IBC, you know, it's all great. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm able to say if anything ever happens to me, my children, and if my wife is still around, are going to be taken care of. You know, that's what kind of jumped out to me with it. You know, it is, I had term insurance and, you know, whole life is more expensive, but it's obviously a better investment where, you know, term has a time limit. Whole life is whole life, you know?
Yeah, it's an asset versus a liability. There are a lot of people who hear about IBC and they get really focused on the cash value aspect of it. But I really like what you said about the generational aspect and the value of the death benefit, which is, by the way, where cash value comes from. So, you know, you can't separate the two. And the fact that you valued both, you know, I think probably just makes it that much easier for you to practice the infinite banking concept.
Yeah.
What about you, Brant? Let's kick it over to you.
Sure. Well, I was trying to think through exactly the first time I heard about IBC and how that came about. I think it was a few things that kind of started coming together, but as a small business owner, you know, really something that I think is very different is that you have to think through how you're going to plan important elements of your future on your own. You don't have an employer that is putting forth a 401k, you know, even disability policies or life insurance policies. Sometimes those are supplied by an employer. And so, yeah, I was thinking through some of those things, but specifically I was thinking about the retirement piece. And, you know, what piqued my interest about IBC is that, you know, I've always been drawn to alternative and non-mainstream things ever since I was young. I'm not really sure why, but I just really disliked the idea of stock market investing and the non-guaranteed nature of it and just locking money up over here that you just can't touch. I mean, obviously you can touch it with a penalty. And so I really liked the guaranteed nature of IBC in terms of planning for just the base level of retirement, you know, maybe not everything needed for retirement, but just like the foundation for it. But along with doing that, the ability to manage liquidity and other objectives at the exact same time. And so that's really what drew me in. And, you know, I think a tangible example you always hear that Declan mentioned too is just the whole car example of, you know, what's the best way to purchase a car. And so that was really cool. In fact, I'm ready to do that here shortly. But yeah, I mean, I just was drawn to it. And, you know, thankfully, because John was mentioning that it's a different paradigm, and it truly is. And so like it took me a little while for me for it to click. And thankfully it did, because I almost went with a really bad product before knowing exactly what IBC was and wasn't. So, you know, Index Universal Life, I almost did one of those policies, and thankfully I didn't do it. Not that that can't be unwound. And then second, I was actually at a Starbucks working one day. So it's like 10 years ago, and overheard an agent talking to someone else about IBC type policies. I was like, could that really be what he's talking about? So when he was done with his appointment, I asked him about it, and he's like, oh yeah, that's probably the easiest lead he ever got, right? Just someone approaching him. But, you know, he was talking about taking out car loans, not paying them back, having a short pay period. And in hindsight, I'm super glad that I didn't follow through with him, because he wasn't an authorized IBC guy. So, yeah, when I finally read Nelson's book, kind of set a baseline for what it is, what it isn't, and then how to get connected with a real IBC person, which eventually happened when I met John.
Well, that kind of ties into the next questions about like misconceptions. Like, were there any, you just mentioned one, Brant, were there any other kind of misconceptions that were put out there? And I'm sure Declan has some watching TikTok, but we'll start with you, Brant. What, anything you had to sort of overcome in your mind to kind of get your head around the idea of what we're really trying to do?
I think for me, I mean, I had an understanding of term insurance, obviously, like probably everyone, and I had a term policy and still do. But I just didn't know enough about the mechanics of, you know, the right way to do it versus the wrong way to do it. And so it wasn't so much a misconception as it was just trying to understand what an IBC policy should look like and what it shouldn't look like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about that earlier, is because like the reason why there's invitations is because there's a real thing. And so because of the real IBC product, and thankfully this was pre TikTok and pre Twitter, you know, kind of blowing up, because I wasn't bombarded with invitations, you know, right and left, where I had to sort through it. But for me, it was just trying to understand like, okay, what exactly is the right structure for this and what isn't, what matters and what doesn't. And, you know, thankfully in working with John, I didn't have to fully understand all of the minute details. He did, and explained them to me. I didn't fully understand all of it. And then later, you know, listening to podcasts, rereading the book, I get it now, what should be present and what shouldn't. But for example, for a little while, I was super hung up on this whole 90-10 structure. I just was caught in this recommended content of this 90-10 guy on YouTube. And so again, not a misconception, but kind of, it's like, you know, what matters and what doesn't when it comes to executing this strategy. And so that's something that I had to just, you know, learn with time, and then, you know, through the right advice.
Yeah, I like to think there's a silver lining to everything. And, you know, unfortunately there are advisors out there that kind of miss the bigger picture about IBC, and they put more emphasis on things like that 90-10 design, or what companies quote unquote have the biggest dividends, and all things that, if you just go back to fundamentals and basics, really have nothing to do with what we're solving for. You know, what is the problem that Nelson encountered in his own life, and really that we all do, which is being able to have access to our own money whenever we need it or want it, and still maintaining the ability to grow an asset at the same time. And so there is a silver lining, I think, to some of the bad stuff out there, is that if like yourself, Brant, you know, you recognize that, you know, that there's an algorithm out there pointing you in a certain direction, but if you can do even just a little bit of critical thinking, which IBC forces you to do when you go down that rabbit hole, you start to ask questions. And if, you know, you stay on that, quest for more knowledge and better answers, you're going to ask also better questions. And I think ultimately, you know, if you didn't find us, you know, this particular podcast, or maybe other IBC practitioners who have their own podcast, you eventually do, and it steers you in the right direction. And I like to think that IBC and whole life specifically, it's kind of like truth serum, because at the end of the day, it's math. and it's guaranteed to perform in a very specific way every single year for the rest of your life, and you can't mess with that truth. However listeners find us, I think at the end of the day, we try to stay true to Nelson's message and just speak as best as we can to the truth that's inherent in not only whole life policies, but the practicality of the IBC message and being your own banker. So I appreciate what you had to say, Brandt. And I just wanted to share too, for our listeners, at least on my end, Brandt, always forward thinking and kind of a podcast whisperer, if you will, on the back end, because he's reached out to me a few times with some ideas for the show. And he's a Breaking Bad fan. And so we had an episode where we talked about Breaking Bad. And Brandt, I know you had some other ideas that you shared with me via email that we've also put into actual ideas for the show. So real quickly, I want to interject and just say thank you publicly for your participation on the back end. Oh, cool. It's been great, all your feedback.
Sure. Yeah, happy to help.
How about you, Declan? Anything you felt like you needed to kind of work around or figure out before, you know, you kind of felt comfortable, you know, either talking to someone or implementing IBC?
Yeah, well, yeah, I feel like as the resident TikTok expert that the best thing I did was get off of it and do my own research and read the book and read it a couple of times. And that's when I started the good old Google search and came in contact with you. And yeah, you know, it's sort of giggles. It sort of makes me giggle the times that I see different, you know, like YouTubers or TikTokers that, you know, even in my limited experience in IBC, that are out there selling something that isn't IBC, but they're trying to say that it is IBC-ish. Yeah. And you know, it all seems to be people trying to make a quick buck, whereas my understanding of IBC is, you know, it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's you know, it's a patience exercise to build up to where you want to be with it, where the policy's making more than what you're putting in. So that's makes me feel all mature whenever I think that, you know, that's the tactics that I'm actually using in my life nowadays. But it is a little annoying that there is so many people out there that, you know, aren't IBC practitioners like yourselves, and they're selling something that's not. And you know, again, the best thing that I did was, you know, it states in the book about making sure to find someone, an IBC practitioner, and to get in contact with them and let them take over from that point. And that's, you know, it's the advice that I took from the book, and I think it's the best move that I've made as far as going down this road, you know.
That's awesome. And I, you know, the reading the book is, I mean, it's the source material. So like people that don't read the book, it's kind of like, why wouldn't you, you know, at least get the perspective from, you know, the founder and creator of the idea. And so, I was just at the IBC think tank that we do every year in Vegas. And one of the great things is the Nelson Nash Institute has spent a few years kind of cleaning house, and has really focused the last few years on discussing these very topics. And there are a couple people who are on TikTok now, and they're talking about the right things. So, you know, I think things are changing a little bit in the social media space, partly due to the Nelson Nash Institute, kind of, you know, cleaning things up and starting to protect its brand a little bit better than it was before, maybe 5 years ago.
So Brent, I want to turn it over to you and ask you, since you've been practicing IBC, is there anything maybe in particular or even just rough edges where you found that the practicing IBC has benefited you or your family?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, multiple ways. So I would say just as a starting point, when I did get started, my first policy was set up where I was just doing $500 a month. And so I did start small just to sort of, you know, dip my toes in, understand how it works, start thinking in that way. I've since obviously added multiple policies and all that and expanded the system. But I would say, so I think you guys have said this before. If you haven't, someone else has. It's not an original thought of mine, but likening IBC to a Swiss Army knife. So my son has a Swiss Army knife. He really likes it. And so he'll carry it around with him. And surely everyone's familiar with one. But if for the maybe one person in the world that isn't, it's one knife. But there are multiple, I guess, tools you could say on the same knife. So you've got a large knife, a couple smaller ones. Then you have a nail file, got some scissors. There's a can opener, a corkscrew, tweezers, a toothpick. The idea is that you can have this one tool in your pocket. And if you're camping or wherever you might be, if you run into a situation, you'll have something to deal with that situation instead of, you know, bringing 7-8 things in your pocket. So IBC really is like that for me and for us. I'm married with 3 kids. So it's, first of all, really I've benefited from it, knowing that a huge chunk of our retirement is totally planned and guaranteed. I mean, there's no market fluctuation with it at all. There are incredible tax benefits to it as well. And so that's one piece, maybe the large knife. And going on from there, you know, typically you would need to be saving and setting aside money in all these different areas of your life. It's, you know, think of a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, you know, a sinking fund and traditional financial planning. If you're going to buy a car, remodel your house, or put a roof on in a few years, or, you know, CapEx for a real estate investor, and then 529 plans for your kids. And it's not that you can't do those things or that we don't do any of those things, but with one product, you know, we have money going into several policies that literally accomplish all of those things at the same time. And what I found is that those things never happen all at the same time statistically. And so we can be saving money for retirement, but, you know, it's tax time. And I'm sure Declan sympathizes here. Like, a lot of people look forward to tax time. I never look forward to tax time as a small business owner. Like, I always write a huge check every year. So, but I don't sweat it. Just did that. And so that's taken care of through IBC. We drive older cars by design. Got the whole luxury car thing out of my system years ago. You're going to have to buy one car, maybe two this year. Have 3 kids. One just finished braces. 2 are starting braces. One just got braces. One's getting them in a couple months. It's no big deal. You know, IBC handles literally all of these things and with one tool. And so it's been tremendous. I would say that really the security and the peace of mind side of it is really big, and it's hard to factor that into an ROI calculation that people right. seem to get really hung up on. Because it's like, let me just use the kids for example. So 2 are girls, 1's a boy. You know, we think through and pray through plans for them and their futures, and we talk about that. But it's uncertain. I mean, we don't know exactly which direction they're all going to go. So, you know, with policies set up for each of them, whether it's a wedding or it's tuition or it's a vehicle, whatever. I mean, that money can be used for multiple things depending upon what, you know, life looks like for each of them. And then after they demonstrate competence and responsibility, I mean, they'll be able to own those policies. So it's just such a cool way to plan for multiple things that you're aware of and things you aren't aware of in one place at the same time. And even while doing these various activities I just referenced, in the background, the uninterrupted compound growth of it for retirement is just happening the whole time. So it's been really life changing as far as that goes in the financial sense. So I don't know if I answered your question directly, but I'll give you.
I think you hit a grand slam. By all means, Brand, I think anyone listening to that, there's a lot of nuggets to pull from what you just shared, and very apt metaphor with the Swiss Army knife too. That was really perfect for me, and I think anyone listening is going to take a ton of value from what you just shared. So thank you. I kept on thinking to myself, you know, we're never in a worse place by having access to cash. And every single life event that happens, every stage of life, it's there. And like you mentioned, you know, it doesn't necessarily all happen all at once. But you know, I just go back to, you're never in a worse position by having access to cash and liquidity, that these policies provide. It's okay, how much do I need and where do I need to direct it? And it's there for you. So, in a day and age where so many people unfortunately lock up their money tied up in assets, where, you know, there's limited liquidity, or you have to wait to a certain age just to access it. You know, here's something hiding in plain sight that, opens the door and relieves a lot of the headaches, the financial headaches that you mentioned quite pointedly. You can't put a ROI on peace of mind, and knowing that what you want to have happen is going to happen simply because you were forward thinking enough to allocate a portion of your assets in this, in my opinion, a very boring, which is a good thing, place mm-hmm. to park wealth.
Yeah, you said a couple things that resonated with me, which, you know, the first one is I'll steal Montoya's line. You know, everything you said really leads to, everything we do leads to a peaceful existence. So he didn't say it, so I'm going to say it. And the other side of it is, you mentioned, you know, how you can't calculate a rate of return on some of the things that you were talking about. You know, Montoya just mentioned that, you know, what we do with life insurance is just math, which is true. What's not math is life. And so your overall financial picture cannot be calculated like a math equation. And, you know, there are many, many instances where, I mean, just in my personal life alone, my whole life cash value has completely saved me. And there's no way, and it also propelled me into a new career, which is what I'm doing now. And, you know, just from a pure financial perspective of my financial life, I'm doing, you know, way better than I ever was in any of my previous careers. How do I put a rate of return on that? You can't. So I think those are just two excellent points on, you know, what you're doing here. I'm excited to hear from Declan. I know Declan's been working hard, you know, as having a local contracting business, being involved in real estate. So I'd love to hear your perspective on this, Declan, in terms of like how you've been able to benefit from IBC and whole life.
Yeah, well, I think one of the key components of it is the liquidity of, you know, the cash value of the policy. It's actually, as you said yourself, it's saved my bacon a couple of times with, yeah, just situations where people weren't paying me for my work. And, you know, it's unfortunate in this business, but sometimes whenever someone doesn't pay you for your work, it's the beginning of a long battle. So, you know, from time to time, I've unfortunately had to take policy loans to just keep cash flow on the business. And, you know, luckily I've been able to pay them back as funds from the next job and from other jobs roll in. But, you know, it's just so valuable in the fact that, you know, I just had to log into my policy. You know, there was no questions, what's this money for? It was just, how much do you need? Where do you want me to send it? And, you know,
yeah.
I don't know about anybody else, but my emails are bombarded day in and day out with people trying to loan me money. And it's, you know, it's, oh yeah, you're pre-approved, but you know, it's expensive and it's not money. It's not my money. So yeah, it's just been, it's been priceless to me in the last year. I've just, unfortunately, as I say, I'd had a couple of situations where I didn't get paid. And, you know, my guys, my employees get paid whether I get paid or not. And my suppliers have to be paid whether I get paid or not. And as I say, you know, a couple of times my loans from the policy have, you know, kept the doors open. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's no price you can put on being able to reach in and getting your money. You know, I have a couple of 401ks, IRAs, but they're, you know, it's money that's just stashed away out of reach. I can't get at it without paying penalties. And, you know, what's the point in putting that money away in the first place if you're going to have to pay a penalty and increase taxes just to get your hands on it again? So, you know, that's the invaluable part for me. You know, I try not to take loans. You know, I'm trying to hold out till my policy gets mature and, you know, expand what I want to be doing real estate wise. But again, a few small loans here and there to keep the business going has been a lifesaver.
Yeah, to use Brandt's line, what's the rate of return on keeping your business alive? You know,
it's like, that's it, yeah.
How do you calculate that? You know, so we're talking to two business owners here, and you know, if you're not a business owner and you earn your money through, you know, W-2 wages, I think all of this applies to W-2 wage earners as well, because you may not have a client that doesn't pay you, but you may have a job that stops paying you at some point. You know, I've been around long enough. I've lived through, you know, two financial bubbles that have popped and layoffs happen and business gets interrupted. And, you know, if COVID taught us anything, maybe it's not the world's worst idea to have some cash. And where's the best place for cash to be sitting? And, you know, I think we've gone over that quite a bit. And so, you know, at today's conventional financial advice really, really devalues the idea of being liquid and having cash. You know, it's like, hey, you got to get your money at work. You got to, you know, beat inflation, you know, all these different things. And then, you know, one thing happens and you have to liquidate all that stuff anyway that was beating. How are you beating inflation when you have to, you know, liquidate it, pay penalties, pay taxes, all that stuff? So I love all these points you guys are making.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback on something that you just mentioned for wage earners and to really hopefully help wage earners see that they are a business owner in a sense, because we're all managing our finances. Even if you work for a corporation and you receive a W-2, you're still responsible for your money. And the way that the current system exists is to outsource your money to someone else. Right. And really with IBC, this is a way to pull back some of that responsibility and to take ownership of it. And yeah, it's just, you know, at the end of the day, we all have to be responsible to ourselves, to our loved ones. And what better vehicle to do that with than a whole life policy, because it's a private contract with another private entity, the mutual-based life insurance companies. You can't accomplish any of this by partnering with the government through your 401k, IRAs. Brandt, you mentioned 529s. You know, if it's a government-qualified vehicle, that's basically a, call it a contract with the government. And, you know, they're going to have their benefits for those particular plans. But at the end of the day, you're putting your trust and faith in good old Uncle Sam. And, you know, whatever your preferences are, I think that having a private contract with another private entity is invaluable. And we're fortunate enough to have guests that are bringing home some really great points on all the benefits that these whole life policies provide. Let's switch gears a little bit and kind of wrap up with this. Brant, I'll start with you. If you could give any advice to someone listening who is just coming into IBC for the first time, maybe they're on the fence, they've listened to a few episodes, or they're looking to pick up the book. What kind of advice would you give that person?
Sure. Well, I would say, I'm an advocate of taking action and moving somewhat quickly in life, but I would say with this, it's important to slow down enough to where you begin to comprehend what IBC is and what it isn't before you take action. And so reading the book would be a really helpful thing. And then I would say, and this isn't a plug for you guys, what I found is authorized IBC people are very like non-territorial in the sense that they advocate for one another. So I would say, if you go to the website, Nelson Nash Institute website, and find a practitioner, an authorized practitioner in your area, and actually John Montoya is not in my area. I'm across the country, but they're licensed in your area, to begin a conversation there and to get some of your questions answered directly from somebody who is required to give you the right answers. Versus somebody on social media or in the comment section, for example, or on Reddit. So that's what I would say, is to understand what it is, what it isn't, and then talk with an IBC person. And then once you have the basis there, I would say the next step is to get started. And you can get started there, to get started in the biggest policy way possible. Although everyone can contest, once you do get started, you usually wish you'd started bigger, but at any rate, to get it rolling, while your health is in a place where, you can not have to worry about qualifying for the policy and getting there, the best rating that you can.
Yeah, fantastic. And Declan, any words of advice for people who may be sitting on the fence?
Yeah, well, I try to talk to a lot of friends and associates about, IBC in general. And, all I can really say is read the book. It's, I think it's 92 pages, am I right? Whenever I picked it up with an open mind, but at the same time, a little bit dubious, because I'd never heard of Nelson Nash. And why have I never heard of this? If this is out here, why is it not common knowledge, and why is everybody not doing it? So, I sort of had to make myself comfortable, but, halfway through the book, I couldn't put it down and I couldn't wait. So I was so excited about it that, the mature side of me kicked in and said, slow down, take a breath here, maybe read this again. And that's what I did. And, second time reading through it, I'm like, yeah, this is for me. And, as I said, I reached out to an author. I made a Google search for an authorized practitioner. And that's how John came into my life. And
how about that for some SEO, Brant?
Yeah, that's great.
it's a great thing. But, I'm not fluent enough in it to kind of break it down for everybody that I want to spread the word to. And as I said, that's read the book. It's a great read, but it's a short read. It's not like you're going to be sitting down for 3 months to try and finish the book,
Yeah, and right after we started the fifth edition, which was a callback to the final, what we thought was the final edition of Nelson's book, that was the previous name of our podcast, the fifth edition, to kind of honor that book. Well, the sixth edition came out right after that, which is the Audible book. So for those of you who don't really enjoy reading, you can listen to the book now. on Audible. So that was one of the reasons we changed to Strategic Whole Life, amongst other reasons.
Well, fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to share your thoughts and pearls of wisdom, not only with us, but with the entire audience. It really does mean a lot to both of us. My co-host here, John Perrins, any last thoughts you want to share with everyone?
No, I think, you know, if you're out there kind of thinking about things, whether you're a business owner, a W-2 employee, just really listen to what these guys are saying. I mean, they've lived through, you know, some real life events, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you can't always calculate, the math on real life events, and having liquidity and control over your capital, can really turn, something bad into something even good. So I think those were some of the most important takeaways from real life IBC clients right here. Well, great, guys. Thank you again for joining. For those of you listening out there, if any of this is resonating with you and you'd like to learn how this could apply in your life in particular, you can head over to strategicwholelife.com. You can book a free 30-minute consultation with us right there, and we can talk about you and your life and how some of these principles could apply for you. Or if you're like I was and want to just read as much as you can and learn as much as you can before talking to anyone, you can head over again to strategicwholelife.com and you could get access to our online course, IBC Mastery. All right, Declan, Brant, John Montoya, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.